comparison is Saul and David. Saul was anointed, and he's still anointed. And David is anointed because I believe the anointing is irreversible. But when Saul changed his focus, he loved power more than the will of God. His anointing became deactivated to the point that God fired him and anointed David. David's anointing is now activated. So when you're not in obedience to God, there's sorrow. And Saul suffered from terrible depression. And he didn't have any peace. He was not in alignment with the love of God, the holiness of God, and the wisdom of God anymore. He was an enemy. He became an enemy against his anointing through pride and through the desire of power. And God can't rest on that. The Holy Spirit can't touch that. So God fired him and raised up David. Because Saul would have, if God didn't fire him, he would have did so much damage against Israel. Because people don't know the difference. And he was still anointed, but he rebelled against it. So many times through ignorance, people rebel against the anointing. They get jealous of others who are anointed. And they don't, you know, you have to, we're one body. That's just the way, we're one body and we must work together. If you're anointed, I'm thankful because it assists, it's all God. It's, remember, the anointing is resting, the foundation of the anointing is the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, all the temperance, maturity, all the mature things of God, that's what the anointing rests on. When I asked him his definition, he said, the anointing is a sanction that gives a man or a woman God's ability to perform and finish a specific task. So maturity is required. That's why he said, because he's not talking about age. A child can be anointed as long as they are mature enough to carry it. As long as they can be obedient to God, then the anointing will work. There's no point in anointing people that's unstable because they can do damage like Saul did. Now, Saul got into depression. He needed somebody to play the harp. God had already anointed David. And Saul was looking to see who God had anointed. He knew he would be outstanding. And David had killed the giant. And then when David played that harp, he began to suspect that this is the guy. And he tried to javelin David. When people love power more than God, they'll try to javelin those who love God. And he's in a decline. That's why he did. Normally, Saul would have never done that. But see, the lust for power became his focus, and he went from being a chosen king of Israel to seeking a witch, and then he died begging an Amalekite to kill him. David got anointed in his dad's pasture over the sheep, and he ended up killing the giant, blessing Saul, governing an army himself. Then he became installed as king. He kept covenant. And he kept to the point that the Lord said, this is a man who is after my own heart. He was honored by God. And when he failed, he repented. And he failed because his focus changed, but he repented from it. He drove out the darkness that caused him to fail. He continued to mount up because his anointing was activated. As long as he was in obedience, his anointing was activated. Look at the comparison. Your assignment, Saul's assignment was to kill the Amalekites. He ended up begging an Amalekite to kill him. David ended up being not only the king, but he became in the lineage of Jesus Christ himself. He became a man that we can see. You know, he wrote the Psalms. He had relationship. He had the fruits of the Spirit. He was a prophet himself, so he had some of the gifts of the Spirit. But the anointing was to be king. The anointing is, you know, you can be anointed and have no, you can have few manifestations. That doesn't mean you're not anointed. That was a man named Ron Wyatt. He was a doctor and also an archaeologist. And He was anointed to find the greatest artifacts in antiquity. The Ark of the Noah's Ark, the Ark of the Covenant, he found it. And I believe he found it because he said that it was under Golgotha. And when the earthquake happened, the blood of Jesus ran down that crack into the mercy seat. And they found that blood there and had it tested, and it had no male chromosomes in it. And Henry Groover, now you can watch these on YouTube. It's relevant. You have to be anointed to do something like that. You have to have an anointing to do something like that. The anointing gives you God's ability to do something like that. He found the real Mount Sinai. And other, many other, there's, you know, he's on YouTube, the things that he found in his life before he died. The anointing gives you God's ability. Samson didn't go to military school. He was anointed. When his anointing was activated, the Philistines couldn't do nothing with him. All their armies couldn't do nothing with him. They didn't know what to do with him. He was like a Superman to them because of the anointing. But when he got in disobedience, his anointing was deactivated. And I want to see, you don't have to be mighty in the eyes of man. You don't need people's approval to be. If you're anointed, you're anointed. And you can still do good things. You can still do great things that people can't normally do. In my training, as the Lord trained me, I had to stop looking to man. I had to stop requiring things from man, approval, things like that. You don't need it. You need to be, when we're focused on the Lord, that's what we need. That's what keeps us strong. Sometimes,
amen.
Sometimes people are strong and they are mighty, but they're looking for approval. Now, you don't need it. If you're looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. Now, if you're going to do anything for the Lord, when things go terrible, see, when David was in, if you read, study Psalms 89, everybody need to read Psalms 89. Because David, he knew he was anointed to be king, and he said, Lord, you cast my crown to the ground. He was being chased by the king himself, as if he was a criminal. And things did not look pretty. If you're anointed, things don't always look pretty. They don't always look like it's working. You're just going to have to look at the Lord. That's how the Lord taught me to do it. Don't look at anything. Look at him. What did Jesus say do? What did he say? What did he tell you to do? Look at that, and you will be on point. And then you can pray in harmony with the Holy Spirit and not waste time trying to prove that you're something to people. It doesn't matter it doesn't matter what people think. What matters is what God knows. Can the anointing remain activated in your life? I don't want to do anything that will hinder it. So I use Charles Capps' Confessions. To stay in balance, because it's so easy to be distracted by the things of this world. People will always try to, the enemy will make things look a certain way, but it's not true. The things of God is true. The things of the world are not true. It's an illusion. You can't grow with deception. See, if you trust something you see, that can be an illusion, it can be deception. And when people are doing that, they can't grow. But every time you act on the word of God, every time you do his word, every time you speak his word, every time his word is alive in you, you're growing. Every time you pray for people in need, you're growing. You're growing. Every time you receive his word, you're growing. And every time you act under the anointing, you're growing too. You're changing. You're seeing God move in your life. You're recording what's happening in your mind and in your heart. And when the Lord needs it, he can cause you to recall it. But when people are looking at other things and they get off track, that's what happened to Saul and others. They started looking at the people, the power, what they didn't have, what they do have. And that's another problem. When eventually, as you follow God, and I've seen churches do this, once they start prospering, they fall back. And they start managing the money. And, you know, just like Pastor said, sometimes people come in, they barely making it, then they start prospering, they get better jobs, then they buy a lake house, then they start going to the lake house instead of church. They stop doing the things that make them strong. In prosperity, we really have to learn to pay more attention to the Lord in prosperity. Because now you're stronger. And you can do whatever you want at your will. And that can be an asset or a curse. As long as your heart is set to follow God, you can do greater things. God will trust you with greater things. And when he does, the activated anointing on your life will mount up with you. Because it's based on the maturity that you have. And as we make mature choices, it helps us grow. Another thing, when people are listening to the word, sometimes people listen to the word until they feel edified. And then they stop. And then from there, what happens, they're excited and they talk about it. And a lot of people are not after the word of God like they were. And then, you know, they try to convince people and they're absorbing the word that they had. And it diminishes. And then they're right back where they started before they got edified. But when you're edified, go back and do more. Receive the word as a way of life. Not just to get over a problem, not just to feel better, but sometimes when I study the word, I don't feel in it. The word is there, but I don't feel like I put it this way. Sometimes I read something in the word and I feel it charges me. I feel a charge going in my heart. And the Lord taught me something about that. He said, that's where you were dry. That was a dry spot. That's why you felt charged when you read that part of my word. And so instead of reading scriptures, I started reading chapters. And the charge is something that I kind of gotten used to. But it's still exciting. But I don't feel the emptiness because of the word that I have. And if the Lord says something new, it's easier to retain it. And you don't have to prove what you know. You know, if the Lord put... I learned to minister what the Lord pulls up. If somebody can... Sometimes I like to share things with people, but that sometimes they aggravate people because they may not want to know that. They may not, everybody don't want, are not, they're not trying to learn the word. But when there's something that they would love to know, then the Lord will prompt me to say it. And learning to be silent is a part of it too. If the Holy Spirit is directing you, you're going to be fine. And when I see a need, I pray for it, and I ask the Lord how to handle it instead of just trying to go into battle without instruction. When you go in battle, go with a battle plan from God. And that's where the security is. There's another comparison. Eve and Mary. Eve was doing fine. There was no sin. She never seen the results of sin. She was warned not to eat off that tree. But she saw that it was a tree to be desired and fruit that would make one wise. And her focus changed. And she ate off of it. And then her husband with her ate off of it. Now, if the Lord can enter sin through man and a woman that was involved in doing it, he can get men out of sin with a man that a woman was involved in the salvation, which is Mary. Now, when the angel came to Mary, and she was receptive. She was surprised. And, you know, let's see. Here it is, Luke chapter 1, verse 28. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said to her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and shalt bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. And therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived, and in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing is impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days and went to the hill country with haste into the city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias, and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped within her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Now all these things happen. I like the part where it said Mary pondered these things in her heart. And from there the Lord taught me something about the heart. Whatever people actually do, that's what's in their heart. Whatever you want to do, make sure you put that part of God's word in your heart. That's the only way you'll pull off the mighty things of God. That's why I use Charles Capps' Confessions. I don't trust Thurston to do it. I trust the word in Thurston to be able to do these things. Because my track record is wavy. But in Christ, it's magnificent. And that's how you do it. We're supposed to do things in His strength, not in our own. And the Lord will give us conditions. The last comparison is Zedekiah and Jeremiah. I just refer to them. Jeremiah had to prophesy that his country that he loves is going into Babylonian captivity. And he did this for years. Your anointing is a lifestyle. It takes a lifetime to do an anointing, to fulfill it. Spiritual gifts, they heal people in present time, or they begin a healing process in present time. And the fruits of the Spirit is a full-time representation of the Lord to everybody. You know, the way you carry yourself all the time, over time. We look at the spiritual gift. That's amazing to us because we see people get blessed and healed or something magnificent happen. But it's the anointing that enables all that to happen. The anointing is what God has given you to do. Now, he was anointed from the womb, and he was not just a child. And the Lord said, don't say you're a child, but he was a prophet to address nations. And I call prophets like that a Jeremiah class prophet, or an Ezekiel class prophet, or even an Isaiah class prophet. And we have them today, and I thank God for them. But the things that Jeremiah, he went to the men, the ambassadors from other countries had come around chapter 27. And the Lord, the Lord had Jeremiah to make a yoke, said, You're going to have to put your neck under this. Everybody who put their neck under the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar will live. And he was telling them they had to surrender to him because Nebuchadnezzar was coming and going to take over the kingdom. And Hananiah took it upon himself without the anointing to say, and broke broke Jeremiah's yoke. And said, after 2 full years, they'll be delivered from him, which was a lie. And then Jeremiah was sent back to Hananiah and said, you're gonna die this year because you made the people believe a lie. And he died in the 7th month. With the anointing, we can do all things through Christ. Without the anointing, it's down to us, and it's just inadequate. So Jeremiah continued, and he warned Zedekiah perfectly. He said, he told Zedekiah, he addressed him several times. But one notable time, he said, if you go out, he said, don't fear the king of Babylon. Don't fear Nebuchadnezzar. Go out and surrender your life to him, and he will allow you to live in your land, in your house, with your family and your daughters. And Zedekiah said, I fear that they will talk about me and harass me and mock me. He feared that more than what Jeremiah said. But he let Jeremiah live, and he was, and the Lord let him live. But Jeremiah warned him. He said, if you don't, if you try to escape or fight Nebuchadnezzar, you will be captured, and he's going to put out your eyes and take you to Babylon. So Zedekiah decided to fight anyway, and then he ended up running from Nebuchadnezzar instead of doing what Jeremiah said. And they caught him and his sons, and they killed his sons. That was the last thing he saw. And then they put his eyes out and took him to Babylon with all of his family and left somebody else in charge. He ended up dying in Babylon. Jeremiah ended up living wherever he wanted to. And then that was a group of people. They were attacked by raiders. They were warned against the main raider, and then they got raided, so they were afraid. They decided to go to Egypt, but they asked Jeremiah. All of his word come to pass. They had a form of trust in him. And he said, and the Lord waited 10 days. And you know the story in chapter 42. After 10 days, he came back and gave him God's reply. And he said, don't go down to Egypt. Don't fear the Babylonians. Don't go down to Egypt. If you go to Egypt, you're going to be killed and captured. And so, not only, then he pointed something out. He said, you dissembled in your heart when you sent me to ask the Lord about all these things. They were in their heart, they had decided to go to Egypt. And they asked the prophet, and when he came back, they rose up and said, we're going to definitely go to Egypt. And they talked about the wicked things that they did. They didn't repent, and they took Jeremiah to Egypt. And then they ended up getting killed and captured, and the people that they took ended up escaping, and Jeremiah went back to Jerusalem. Look at the comparisons of people who operate according to God's word and under the umbrella of the anointing. If they would have stayed there, they could have been in the land. Jeremiah told them, if you don't fear the Babylonians and don't go to Egypt, stay in your land. They were already there. They wouldn't have lost anything. The man that was that had raided them, I believe they killed him. I got to go back and research it, but they could have stayed in their land because God would have been with them. But they chose to do what was in their heart. If you're going to master the things of God, you have to fill your heart with His word. Sometimes our will is too strong, and the word of God will help us drive out, just like they had to drive out the Canaanites and the Perizzites and all the giant people. We have to drive out every attachment of darkness out of our heart and fill it with the word of God. Don't just not sin. And I tell people all the time on the radio, don't focus on what you're not supposed to do. Focus on the Lord. You can't live trying not to sin all day. That's the most aggravating way to live. It's not going to work either. Fill your heart with the word of God and you won't desire to sin anymore. The desire to sin will be gone. The belief of the doubts and and unbelief will fall off your life as you fill your heart with the word of God. If you're looking at Him, you're going to be believing what He's saying. You're going to be, and if you do the word of God, you're going to complete a learning process that began when you first heard about it. As you experience, as you live the word of God, the anointing will mount up on your life, and God will, and at the right time, He'll give you something impossible to do. And this is how you secure. You just keep.
Well, Apostle Thurston, in part, because our time is drawing near.
Okay. the thing, this is how we secure our lives. We focus on Him in success, in perils, in trouble, and under attack, and enjoy life. When you're in His presence, there's great joy. Even though things are going, one lady said, when you focus on the Lord and you're going through, you don't even know you're going through. Just when you're anointed, that doesn't mean everything's going to go pristine. Just keep doing the Word of God and the healing process. I end with this. The healing process in salvation will continue to flourish in your life. And the day will come, you won't have to live paycheck to paycheck. You won't have to organize which bill you got to pay for. A healing process will cover your life. This takes time. We grow from glory to whatever it is, whatever the problem is. The Word of God, the healing process in God's Word will cure it. And you'll be able to do the things and master things and have great success in life. That's how it works. But everything that worked that of God is here for us. And I thank God for it. As we focus on Him, any comments, questions before we close?
I have a comment, Apostle. When you were saying, and each time when they was going up to war, they asked God who should go first.
Yeah.
And He kept telling them Judah.
Yeah.
Judah means praise. He wanted the praise and worship to go first, right? Because in the praise and worship, He's in that praise and worship.
Oh,
and His presence would have been right there with them. But then they were looking at the outer, the one that they thought, you know, that could accomplish.
Oh, so glad.
But people of God praise and worship steals the enemy.
I ain't gonna never forget that. I didn't think about that. I'm so glad praise and worship goes first. Praise goes first.
Amen. Amen.
We have the victory. We got it.
We do.
If we can obey God, there's nothing we can't do. I walk around knowing this.
But
I've seen it too many. I've seen it in other people. Ministers that stick with what God say, they don't understand how it works. It happened without notice. When you find yourself in the same situation that got you down and you're laughing, you groan. And when you find yourself prospering, when it's impossible to prosper, that means you've grown in that area. So when you know you find yourself doing the Word of God in a crisis, you've grown. As we do the Word of God, we grow. And as we praise God, we definitely grow. Thank God.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Are there any more questions or comments? Uh-huh. Go ahead.
Once again, Apostle Thurston, you've answered the questions I've been struggling with for a few weeks, so I appreciate it. And I don't know why God keeps sending you my mail, but thanks for reading it.
That's the whole. He loves.
Amen. He loves. That's the bottom line. Love.
I don't never know what to say.
Anybody
to
else him. Have a comment? If not, we're going to give it over to David and let him dismiss us. Let Apostle dismiss us.
Okay. All right. Well, dear Lord, I thank you for being in our midst. I thank you for your teaching. I thank you for the comments. Lord, help you blessed us to be a blessing. Help us to be that blessing. And with these final moments you've given us, the end of this era, before your mighty return, help us do the impossible things that you long for us to do. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. I'm going to say goodbye to everybody at 4 o'clock tomorrow.
All right.
Don't forget.
To it.
God bless you.
God bless.
God bless you. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Uh huh.